I don't know if you're like me, but it often feels a feast. Mm-hmm. And it's just the crumbs that we've received in a sense this morning. The crumbs from the table, from the King. And I sit there feeling so full and so grateful, thankful. And also something in my heart saying, Lord, draw in more. Draw in those that have not yet tasted and seen. I don't want to get gluttonous myself. There's something in us, isn't it? Say, oh, Lord, this is truth. This is life. Even the scriptures that have been read out this morning, how they link. There is life to be had in the Lord. And oh, it's bountiful. It's full. And I sit there thinking, you know, I think the Lord looks down thinking, hey, this is just the crumbs. There's more in store. Are you excited? Just want to share just a few thoughts this morning. I've been trying to sojourn, is that the right word? Sojourn through the book of Romans. Please don't walk out. But I've spent weeks and I've been having conversations with myself, going over things, and I know the Lord's listening in, which is great. Okay, He's in our homework, by the way, in our preparation, and it's been just a time where I don't use it as a flippant comment, but if you don't have a brain that can almost have a photographic memory, you have to really work at reading. And we're becoming more, in some ways, it's a generation that's becoming less of reading. And this creeps into both church life too, because, and I just put it out there as a challenge. It's hard work, but it can be done. And I say it sensitively to as many needs of different things like dyslexia and a whole range of things. But the work and the hard effort that can go in just from reading, the Lord is right in that place. Right, I say it as an encouragement. He's in the moments when you're just going over things, thinking, what on earth is going on here? And then you think you've got it. And then the next day you've forgotten it. Oh, goodness. But the Lord is in that process, because what He's doing is keeping your mind clean. The Word keeps your mind and thought processes clean. And it's a danger for the church. So if you become people that, oh yeah, I knew that back in the 1970s. I'm not going to bother. It's vital. It came through in the reading about the Word. And so many people rely and stand upon the Word. And I just encourage you this morning, in your own quiet times, just keep going. Keep going with it. Keep embracing it. Keep what I've done in the last few weeks is chewing it over. Grab a commentary if it helps. You know? But in some ways, lock yourself away with the Lord. He will speak. His Holy Spirit comes and can take a simple soul and bring a little bit of understanding. He's very gracious like that. So I just want to encourage you, if you're not a reader, then you can do it. It takes a bit of graft. It's like training for a football. It's another analogy. Sorry. Sorry. Another football analogy. But you do have to train before match day. And there is a sense in which, doesn't matter if you've got to stand up here and say something that the Lord has put for this church here. It's actually just in those moments of just the training. It's turning off the TV or the radio. And the Lord, I think, does and helps us do that. So praise the Lord. I just want to just, if you've got your Bible, just turn with me into Paul's letter to the Romans. And I just want, just this morning, to touch on the subject of faith and being justified by faith. And it's a little bit linked, even with some of the readings that came out this morning and songs that we've sung. And I just want to go to this little place. I'm going to start off with the bad news and a sense of reality to start with, okay? If you go to chapter 3 in Romans, incredible letter. It's one of the longest ever written letters, historically that is as well. I find that so fascinating. And many of the new atheists, actually, they just do not want to read evidence, historical evidence of the truth. They don't. And this letter in itself is an incredible piece of evidence. It is. And I even think about, and what gets me is the incredible evidence for the eyewitness accounts of the resurrection. I'm still convinced. It's one of the ways in which you can engage with people that you work with, college and university, is just alone the eyewitness accounts written in these scriptures here. That's why the church does need to get grips with this here. Because when you come into discussions with people, some of them will know their Bible. The devil knows his Bible. And so it really does help to get a grip. So I'm thinking of Josh at your university doing theology, isn't it? Keep going with your reading. Keep going with those conversations with people that are grappling with truth. We are all in different settings. Sorry to pick on you, Josh. But I'm thinking of others too, but it's key. It really is key. And then with that becomes the hard work of just reading and allowing the Lord to teach us and speak to us. Romans chapter 3, it says this. I just want to talk about, just really briefly, the state of humanity. We're going to start at a low ebb, okay? And we're all on a level playing field. Sorry, another sporting analogy. We're on a level playing field here, okay? Chapter 3, and it just says this, describing really the state of humankind. You have to understand the state of humankind, even from a sense of Adam and Eve in the garden, to actually understand the joy of new life in the Lord Jesus. And it says this in verse 10. As it is written, it's one of the Psalms, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They all have turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. This is graphic language. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. Their poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. We are in that bracket. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Does that make you feel a bit chirpy or a little bit? Can I just be very real? That is the state of humanity. We have all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Amazing, the description here, how he uses physical features. I read it and I was thinking, wow, this person needs to go and see an ENT specialist. What comes out the lips, the mouth, the throat? It's beyond an ENT specialist, by the way, is God. And then it goes on. And I just want to, before I read the next section, I went to a medical emergencies course. Sorry, I'm not digressing here. It is linked to what I'm going to say. But last week on the Tuesday, I went to Wiston Hospital and we had to do these simulations. I do it once a year where you're put into a medical emergency. And I know there's doctors here, so I better watch what I'm saying, and nurses and other practitioners. But there was a sense in which we were put into a dire situation, okay? And it was in the setting of a dental practice. But I found it very interesting. There was a little acronym that came up. And prior to preaching, I often just am so highly aware of things that I'm doing that I'm asking, Lord, would you just speak something to me, even when I'm doing medical emergencies? But there was a little acronym, and it's called, I'm going to forget it now, SBAR. Any medical people know what SBAR is used in? No? Okay, SBAR. Basically, it means that you have a patient that you're treating, and they are in dire situation, okay? And then you're then contacting a paramedic that's coming along, and you have this thing called SBAR, which is basically you've got to give the paramedic all the relevant information. So SBAR is an acronym, and it stands for S is situation, B is background, A is assessment and R is... You got it, Lee. Brilliant. Recommendation. So in some ways, that little thing has just helped me. Just preparing for this message about faith and being justified is that the situation, start with S, is it's dire. All have sinned and fallen short. Okay, we have been in that situation. What's the background? Well, the background is, I want to come into the little story about Abraham and Sarah next, to give a little bit of background, okay? And then we'll go into an assessment. And if I forget one of them, don't hold it against me, okay? I'll blame my slow processing. But the situation is dire. And then it comes into these verses here. If you read in chapter 3, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. The theme of this morning is faith in Jesus Christ. Do you have faith this morning? Oh, goodness. Faith has to be in an object. What's your faith in? Who is your faith in?
Jesus.
Wonderful. Much of the world have exercised faith, but it's in themselves. They put their trust in a physical frame that one day is just going to perish. And you could say, well, that's not exercising faith. Well, there's a few theologians out there who say that is exercising faith, but they're putting it in something that's perishing. We have a living God. And it goes on, it says, through faith in Jesus, to all and on all who believe. The key emphasis here is believing and going on believing. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over our sins, the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Oh, where is your faith? Amazing that we can have the righteousness of God and be justified by faith. Not in the law of old, by the way. Not in your own personal CV as a Christian. Do you remember I said a few weeks ago that often people announce themselves and say, well, I'm a so-and-so leader of so-and-so, and I've studied 3 years at Bible college. And you end up getting a CV out there before. It's not that. Paul never did that. He said he was shipwrecked, beaten, and all sorts. That was his CV. And there's something about the humility of a Christian that would say you go bypass the CV part, but say and look to the faithfulness of Christ. We are justified through him and what he's done. And then it goes on. There's no time for boasting, it says in the next stage. There's no time. It mentions about circumcision. That won't get you to heaven. The outward sign has to be something internal, a circumcision, a cutting of the heart separated unto God. Like a surgeon with a knife, how God is so incredibly amazing. And then it goes on into chapter 4. Just go with me. I could read a fair few verses just to get... You know, it's quite a hard subject, some subjects in Romans. And you could just read the whole thing. But I don't know how you would feel with that one Sunday, just having the whole letter of Romans read. But there's, in a sense, that would be a blessing just to read it, just to hear it. And it says this. We'll go on to chapter 4. Just get on to verse 13. This is now going into the promise. What happens if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? There is a promise there. Okay, it says this. For the promise that we would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And I've been grappling with this for a few weeks. I have to fix people's teeth and think about the righteousness of God and faith, okay? And it has an interesting, I think I have some wonky teeth that are out there somewhere. But in other ways, I just feel like the stretching, the Lord stretches our thinking. Christians, I don't think enough. Someone asked me at the beginning of the year at work, do you have a New Year's resolution? I said, I don't make them. I think they're pathetic. He's still a friend, but then I did go away and I thought, sometimes there is a time when you reflect on something. And I thought, well, no, there is something. And I just, in my quiet time with the Lord, had two words. And it was, and I may have mentioned it before, stillness and movement. You may say, Mark, that just seems quite a contrast there, the two. Stillness was this thing of, I just want to be still with the Lord. This year, we are not still enough. That's great English there. Sorry, got teachers here. Stillness. I just want to be still with the Lord. I want to read. I want to pray. Quiet in the heart. Allow the Lord to speak. Stillness. Then my other thing was movement. And that was I wanted to go and hike a bit more. Walk and run. You know, like a these are healthy things. We can sometimes, you know, if we're able to, it's just that thing. So I just wanted some fresh air and to walk. And I thought, just those two things. And I thought, no, the Lord is in these things. Stillness and movement. I don't know if that's a recommendation, but just I would say the order is more important. Be still and know God first. We rush about, we run about, we're involved in so many things. I'm in so many WhatsApp groups. Oh, sorry, they do work, they have a reason. But you know, you can get this thing of the world. You've got to build your CV. Interestingly, Abraham's CV was not in this part here. He could have boasted of his CV, by the way. Incredible man of faith, but it wasn't in there. Yes, it's in Hebrews 11. But interestingly, Paul, it's not there. And it's more God's story, not Abraham's story. Anyway, it goes on. Chapter 4. For the promise, verse 13, for the promise that we would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void. That's an interesting thought. And the promise made of no effect. Interesting, before the law came, Abraham was justified by his faith. Before he was circumcised, before he had the law, he was justified. In Genesis 15, before 17, when circumcision came, he was justified. In some ways, he was circumcised internally of the heart. Sorry if I'm getting a little bit up there, but when you read it, I was trying to understand it. But he was justified by faith in the Lord before those things. And then it says in 15, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Then it says this in verse 16, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. I love that. I could go into Ephesians 2 now, say that how far off I was, but you and I have been brought in. Wonderful. Then it says this, God gives life to the dead. And calls those things which do not exist as though they did. He's the God of miracles of the impossible. Isn't that wonderful? This one was impossible. Stubborn. His life was just about sport. And that was it. Nothing else. He can change your heart and make it soft. And impute something of his wonderful nature and his attributes. And then it goes on, verse 18, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. You're not hopeless here this morning. There is hope. Hope for the nations. Hope for Israel at this time. There's hope for the Lord's people. There's hope in my workplace. Recently, 6 weeks ago, went very quiet at work, very quiet. And my initial thought is, Lord, I don't want the guys to struggle with not having work. So I sat under the stairs at work. There's a little desk there with a computer. And I remember uttering these words to the Lord. I said, Lord, would you bring in more work? Would you bring in the catch a bit more? A bit more fish? And then, more teeth, sorry. And then I went away. And like you do, you offer prayers up. And in a sense, when you offer a prayer up, there's a trust. But you've got to leave it with the Lord. If you keep fretting, it doesn't always... Offer it up. He's heard it. And then faith is the thing where you actually, I've let it go to you, Lord. I'm going to now move on. So I moved on with my job and work. And then 2 weeks ago, I remember saying to my wife, Helen, I said, oh, I'm so busy at work. I really could do with a break. It's like five days a week. It's just too much. We're thinking we put an advert out for someone for a new job, which is out there now. Okay, anyone who wants to make teeth, there's an advert out there. And so I was going through this process of like, well, I'm late home from work. I'm struggling to get onto other things. And then I had this check in my spirit, which was, no, but you prayed that prayer. Watch what you pray, okay? But in a sense, be encouraged by it. And that opportunity, that was just for me. But I told the guys, I told the company. I said, I won't say a name, but I said, just to let you know, I did put a prayer in a few weeks ago that there, and it wasn't at all for your own boasting. It's like, oh, the Lord's great. He can speak in the most menial things, in the ordinary things of life. He's a speaker. Yes, this morning we have had a feast of the things that we've sung, the people that have said things. If you're not moved this morning, oh, be moved. Be receptive. Did you hear that theme come out of being receptive? Faith is something about positioning and being receptive. And then, what do? You move. Move in it. I was thinking about runners. There's runners here. Here's a great runner on the front row. There's Mark behind, another great runner. I could go around the room. There's a few runners. And I was thinking, well, I read a book once about how you run properly. It's the worst thing I should have done. But one thing that came out from running was, and the guys can, girls can correct me here, but what I was doing when I was running with my head down and basically concentrating on just a little bit here. And with that, my thought process were just a little bit like, oh, busy at work and blah, you know. But they said in this magazine, oh no, try and just get your head up a little bit. So you almost set something that's ahead of you. Does that make sense, runners? Please don't. So there's a sense which, if you're running, yes, it might help you with your footwork, but you won't feel like you're getting anywhere. You just, if your head is just slightly up and you're looking forward, oh, there's the race. And do you know what? The one who's looking at you, the author and finisher of our salvation, Jesus, he's there. He just wants us just to raise our heads slightly and just picture and look at him, focusing on him. I know that's not a football analogy, it's running. So I do have a broadened escape, yeah. Just another thing. Let's just go on, on faith. So Abraham didn't want to bring his CV here. This was God's story and how he justifies mankind. I haven't gone to any of my notes. Let's just go to this key verse, aware of time. It says this. Let's go on to verse 19. And not being weak in faith, this is about Abraham, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. Wow. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. It says this is the key verse. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. This was before any law, by the way. Anything. It was this thing of, he had this thing of just faith, and he did not waver. Now in the RV, the original version, it says this. It's got a lovely picture of Abraham almost stood at his two sets of circumstances, okay? On one side We'll go through all the weakness circumstances, okay? He was 100. He was old in age, frail. In some ways the seed was not working, okay? And then you had the other side, which was the promise, which was life in God being justified. And it says in the RV, a great little picture of, he quietly looked at the two circumstances. And he almost gazed up and down. And he chose life. Oh, Jesus. He's the real one that changes lives. We often will look on this negative list and we'll glance at it. Sometimes we'll actually go over it and regurgitate it. Abraham could have done that. He could have looked at his list of boasting. Well, I've taken a nation to here, there. But he didn't. He looked at the Father, the promise. And I love that. I love the thing that he quietly looked. He looked up and down and he went for God. Amazing. Is this making sense? I hope it is. It has to be in the last couple of weeks, although I had times I'm thinking, I don't understand this. And hey, feel free to correct me after. But in actual fact, I spent in the last couple of weeks, I said to Helen, I'd love to have someone just to sit down with and chew over these things. Amazing. Not to have someone come in and like, well, son, let me draw you aside to the real truth is not that. The Lord, we're fellow workers, and there's a sense in which you, iron sharpens iron, isn't it? And it's a wonderful thing, young and old, together. Grown up in a church where ageism is becoming the thing. Well, this proves it wrong. Abraham, 100. Oh, Lord, thank you for those that have gone before. Thank you that the ones that don't waver in their faith, they're here this morning. Thank you. Even to my own parents' generation, there was a faithfulness. There was a simplicity of life. And they used to just sit and read. I think of my father-in-law, and I was trying to impress him as a future son-in-law. And I said, can I possibly, when you've got time, I can have like a little Bible study with you, you know, and sit down. And, and I thought I'd try and impress just to get Helen. And anyway, we met together and had a couple, and then within an hour, he was asleep. And I hope he's not on Zoom, because he does. I've just realised he may be on. But the thing is, what I picked up in just that hour, I'm trying to get it back in, was invaluable. It was. Because do you know what? Do you know why he was just a bit sleepy? He'd been out working so hard. He'd been out grafting, working. And then with it, had that lovely mixture of just reading the scripture. Such a practical man, still is. You know, and that just really spoke to me for many years, and it still does now. Anyway, let's go on back to Abraham. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. This is his righteousness, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered up because of our offences and was raised because of our justification. Oh, we are heirs. Do you know that? From many nations. Don't waver. I've had people the same age as me, and I've been to conferences with them, grown up in church, and then something comes into their life and they just get a little bit sidetracked. Then they disappear. They stop attending things. Then they get a little bit cynical against God. And those ones I try and keep friends with. But in some ways, that's really tough, isn't it? Keep going. Sometimes your faith and not wavering can still be such a good message to those that are wavering. I was thinking of an example of not wavering. Go with me on this, okay? It's not a sporting analogy. You'll be really happy to. But I was thinking about the King's coronation. Do you remember the King's coronation? Do you remember Penny Mordaunt? Dear Penny Mordaunt, she had to hold the sword, I worked out that the ceremony was 2 hours. She held it for an hour, by the way. She held this sword, and then I worked out what the weight was, 3.6 kilograms. Okay, that's getting like a dumbbell, isn't it? Any of you guys out there that... But she held the sword out for an hour, like this. And I think she actually kind of took a bit of the limelight because she did it in such a stoic way and she didn't budge. Amazing. And I was thinking about Abraham linking it, this thing of not wavering. He held on. He kept believing. May that just be a message for us. So there it is. The situation is, it was dire. We've all sinned. The background was this thing of Abraham and Sarah and the seed. And that God did the impossible. When they were at that age, God still brought life. And it was through that seed that there is faith and we are justified. That's the assessment. What's the recommendation? Let me just finish. What's the recommendation? Chapter 5. Let's just go there. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access, that was prayed earlier on this morning, by faith, into this grace, grace was mentioned this morning, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, oh, hang on, not only that, it's going to get even better. Wow, let's see. But we also glory in tribulations. Oh, hang on. No, that's... Is that... No, that's wrong. No. Let me just say one thing. The Word of Faith movement will skip this verse off. I've done a lot of reading about the Word of Faith movement. Be aware of it, okay? It's in many churches, but they will miss out this bit. So they will just do the prosperity aspect of it, health and wealth. I think I had a little quote here from somewhere. It says something like, false teaching on the Word of Faith. Instead of promising Christ, this gospel promises health and wealth. According to this new gospel, if believers repeat positive confessions, focus their thoughts and generate enough faith, God will release blessings upon their lives. This new gospel claims that God desires and even promises that believers will be healthy and financially prosperous life. What a load of rubbish. Let's go back to scripture. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. If you look at the life of Paul, he gloried in tribulations. You will have tribulations here this morning. You may have brought them in the doors this morning. I hope you feel encouraged that you can actually lay them aside in some ways. Just this time of feeding on the Lord, and he will help you through. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Oh, amazing. Wonderful Lord. Don't be disappointed in hope. You know that people that you work with, those family members that are not yet the Lord's, they will see and you'll give a reason for the hope that's in you. They will actually consciously be pricked by the hope that's in you. You may not be aware of it. That's an amazing thing of the Holy Spirit working. If we were aware of it, we may start our little boast list of, well, I did. It's not like that. Amazingly, the Lord just works when we just yield it to him and open, speak through the Holy Spirit and enters into some of our conversations. I find it amazing. I really do. Precious Lord, coming to the end now. I don't really know how to finish it, but just that thing there of our hope doesn't disappoint. Abraham and Sarah, they could have been disappointed. They could have been so disappointed. But they kept looking ahead. As they were running that race, with perseverance, I think the glance was just that little bit upwards towards the Lord. I want to encourage that this morning. Maybe you're feeling like your eyes are down. And we can sometimes run to one another. We can run to different situations. And I understand that there's a time for it. But can I just say a little reminder again? Stillness, movement. Have the stillness with the Lord. Go to him. Quietly. After that, there will be movement. Will you enter into what God is doing for you? That was one of my questions. I only had one question. Will you enter into what God is doing for you? Abraham entered into it. Maybe this morning there's something that you want to enter into. And can I just put it out there now? I'm going to finish and say, who wants to enter into what God is doing? Do you want to do that? I increasingly know and want to do what the Lord's will is. Maybe this morning you've just been challenged, even by, I was challenged and ready to stand up even before I got up here, by the way. But if you want the Lord to come and intervene in your life, maybe we can stand up together. Stand one another together. Do you know what I mean? I realize that this race is not alone. I tried to jog last week and I hopelessly failed. And then I went for a run yesterday with Helen. And together, sorry, hon, but together, man, it helps. It really does. Sorry, another analogy there. Should we just stand, say, Lord, have your way amongst us? If you want to utter something, it can be the most simple thing. Maybe you've gone off that track. Maybe you've concentrated on things that you shouldn't have, but open up your heart this morning. I encourage you. Lord.